Well, praise the Lord. This is Apostle Curtis Lewis. Welcome to the broadcast today. I want to thank you for tuning in. I want to encourage you, if you're able, to get your Bible, get your notepad and a pen. Call a friend, call a neighbor. Let them know we're getting ready to study God's holy word. I want to teach a message today entitled The New Covenant. And for a subtopic, we're going to use the Ten Commandments. I want to go to the scriptures in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14, and I want to read down a couple of verses, and I want to show you what the Bible has to say about the new covenant, and I want to show you that the Holy Ghost bore witness to this covenant and that the Lord spoke it. So I want to validate this teaching by the scriptures. Look at what the word of God said, beginning at verse 14, Hebrews chapter 10. For by one offering hath he perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before. Notice the Holy Ghost had said this before. This is the new covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. Watch this. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. The new covenant is God taking the Ten Commandments off stones and placing them in our hearts and in our minds. And now our heart has become the ark that carried the covenant. Let's go now into the message.
So he called the Ten Commandments the law of liberty. But he said, so speak ye and so do ye. Your speaking, your living, your conversation, and your doing should be within these boundaries here, these ten oracles, because he said, as they that shall be judged by them. You're going to be judged by this law. Let me give you another verse. Go to Romans chapter 2. And I'm telling you, these Ten Commandments covers everything regarding sin, whether you know it or not. Hallelujah. Okay, Romans chapter 2. Let me start at verse 11. For there is no respect of persons with God. No respect of persons at all. He ain't going to favor one over another. For as many as have sinned without the law, see, now, if you want to know what law he's talking about, read the context and go back to the first chapter. He make reference to the Ten Commandments again. So he's talking about the law of God here. Now, here's what he said. For as many as have sinned without the law or the commandments of God shall perish without the law. He was talking about the Gentiles. That was the Gentiles didn't have the law of God. The Jews at one point, the only one that had them. And if any Gentiles knew them, they got them from the Jews. Okay? So he's basically saying the Gentiles as a whole didn't have the Ten Commandments when under the old covenant, because they was given to the Jews on stone. But as many of them that died without having them, still going to be judged by them. Now you say, how can God be fair in that? Because everybody got a conscience. And when you, before you knew God, your conscience still told you right from wrong. Yes, it did. I remember doing wrong and some say, you know you wrong. I wasn't even born again. God got a conscience in every human being. And when they look up, they can say, I'm an atheist. No, you lying to yourself. Your conscience tell you there's a God. And so you maybe you didn't have the Ten Commandments, but you had a conscience. And you'll still be judged. And whenever a sinner break these laws, your conscience tell you you're wrong. God, look, let me tell you what, God ain't no joke. When he made human beings, do you know Ford know what they was doing when they made your Ford car? They knew what they knew. They put everything in that Ford. They can tell you everything about that Ford. They can tell you everything about that Chevrolet. God can tell you everything about you. Hallelujah. So when he made us, he know how he made us. He did not make one human being that wouldn't know his will. You ain't got to ever pick this Bible up and steal your conscience or tell you right from wrong. So he said, for as many as have sinned without the law shall perish without the law. And he's talking about the Ten Commandments. And as many as have sinned in the law, that's the Jews. And now it's the Gentiles, because we've been born of it. Many as have sinned in the law shall perish, shall be judged by the law. See, the law of God is going to judge everybody. The ten oracles of God is going to meet you on the day of judgment. So why not spend some time and understand these from the Bible's point of view under the new covenant? In the New Testament, the way we got them is we was born of these laws, because he said a new covenant, I'm going to write them in your heart and in your mind. That's how we got them. Now, the next verse right here shows it. It says in Romans chapter 2. Now, keep in mind, I hope I just proved to you that you're going to be judged by the Ten Commandments. If I didn't, keep traveling with me, and I'm going to show you that these ten lively oracles going to pop up on the day when you pop up on judgment. So you'll be able to pass the pop quiz by understanding them now. It's an open book test now. So when you come up to the judgment and they pop up, you ain't going to say, oh, I didn't know that. Mm-mm. And then if nobody ever taught them to you and you step up to the judgment, your conscience is going to pop up. And broop, you're going to remember every time, oh, I knew that was wrong. I just didn't know why I did it. Yeah, you know why you did it. You wanted to do it. You let your lust drive you to do that. You rather appease your lust than to appease a creator. Okay? So for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, they didn't have the law externally at this time. Watch this. Now they have the law inside. They can do by nature the things contained in the law. These having not the law are a law unto themselves. He's talking about the Gentiles that then got born again. Now watch what this law inside of you will do to you. Which show the work of the law written in their hearts. See, remember in Hebrews 10, starting at verse 14 all the way down. He said, this is the new covenant that I will make with them. I'm going to write my laws in their hearts. So right here, he said, which show the work of the law written in their hearts. Watch this. This is how you know the law is written in your heart. Their conscience also bearing witness. Your conscience bear witness to every oracle God spoke. Your conscience, you may not know which commandment it is, but your conscience know. And he said, no, don't do that. Stop. And you do it anyway. You just sin. Because sin is the transgression of the law. So he says, for when to show the work of the law written in his heart, in their hearts, their conscience also bearing them witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing. Now watch this operation. A born again person. If you can freely live in sin and break these Ten Commandments, I promise you, you're not born again. I promise. Promise. The Spirit of God don't live in you. Now, you still know it's wrong because your conscience is going to tell you it's wrong. But when you're born again, not only will your conscience tell you it's wrong, he's going to make you feel guilty. He's going to make you feel so bad. You're going to have a sickness, can't no doctor help. You're going to be grieved. And what's going to happen is when you break one of God's laws, your thoughts going to accuse you. That's what it says, accusing. Let's look at that again. It says, the conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing. They accuse or else excuse. Watch this. They accuse or they excuse. They accuse or they excuse. If I've done something wrong, my thoughts not going to excuse me. They're going to accuse me. Peace is the proof as well. When your peace is disturbed, something wrong. And keep in mind, I want you to see this operation because I don't want these just to be no scriptures you read. It says your thoughts accuse or else excuse. When you walk in righteous, your thoughts excuse you. They don't bother you. When you're doing something wrong, they're accusing you. You be by yourself and something just bothering you inside. And it bothers you till you get it right. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Why is he doing that? Because he don't want you to die wrong. Because if you die wrong with your thoughts accusing you about something, you gone. If you die wrong, you gone. I'm telling you. This ain't nothing to play with. This is why I'm spending some time. I'm gonna be on this a while because I'm going to teach you on all 10 of them. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. Now this is so interesting and I need you to see this. It says, for when the time, 5 and verse 12. Now watch this. For when the time you ought to be teachers. Now keep in mind now the Jews was the one. It says, what advantage then have the Jew? Chiefly because they received the oracles. They knew God's righteousness. They knew God's faith. They knew God's will. And by now, when the Spirit, they done received the Spirit on the Pentecost, that by now they supposed to be teachers for the whole world. And Paul said when the time, because this book is written to the Jewish-minded people, but don't let nobody fool you that it's not written to the Christians. It is too. But he's talking to the Jewish-minded people mainly here. But he's saying about when the time you ought to be teachers, y'all got the oracles first. Now y'all supposed to be teaching the whole Gentile church. He said, but when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need to be taught again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. The first principles of the oracles of God is to be taught them. Now watch this. Watch what happened if you're not taught them properly, especially under this new covenant and how they apply to the New Testament people. Which be the first principles of the oracles of God. Oracles of God, Ten Commandments. That's all he's talking about. And when you don't understand these Ten Commandments, you have become such as have need of milk. He just called the Ten Commandments milk. And why did he call them milk? Because he's trying to show you that just like a baby, the first thing it needs is milk. Well, a saint, the first thing they need is the Ten Commandments to understand them. That's the only reason he called them milk. Not because they're not deep, but he just simply said, this is the first thing you got to understand how to apply these in the New Testament. And if you haven't learned this, you've become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. He said, I can't take you deeper because you don't even understand this verse. Now watch this. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. What is the word of righteousness? The Ten Commandments. And you're unskillful in these Ten Commandments. Because you think, like some preachers, they dung and doo-doo. Wow. Church, you think, under the new covenant, no law. No Mosaic law. He ain't said nothing about God's laws. And if you think that under the new covenant, you unskillful in this word of righteousness. You don't even know what the righteousness of God is. Because the righteousness of God is the righteousness God requires of his creatures. And he said, for he's a babe. You don't understand how to administrate these? He said, you're still a baby, been in the church 40 years. He said, you're a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. When you know how to administrate in your life these Ten Commandments, then you can step out and understand and discern good and evil everywhere. He's trying to say if you don't understand this, these basic righteous principles, you can't even discern good and evil. And when Peter said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, he was talking about desiring these Ten Commandments. This is what you was desired when you first got saved. It wasn't that new believers class. Because when the church bring you in as members, they want to give you their requirements when they should have gave us God's requirement. They more interested in how you need to function in my church. Let me give you a 6-week new believers course. Tell you how we operate. And when the Bible said the first thing you should have been taught was the Ten Commandments. Hallelujah. That's 1 Peter 2, verse 2 that says, desire the sincere milk of the words. He was talking about the Ten Commandments, people. Let me see what I wanted in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 5 and 22. It says, these words the Lord spake. And if you want to know what words, you go back up. And he was talking about all the Ten Commandments he spoke. If you look at the previous verses, there's the Ten Commandments is again, the Ten Oracles of God, all over the Old Testament and the New Testament. And verse 22 says, and these words spake unto all the assembly in the mount, talking about Mount Sinai, when he came down and gave these Ten Oracles, out of the midst of the fire, the cloud, the thick darkness. So we know he's talking about the Ten Commandments, which with a great voice, when you're talking about hearing his voice, you're talking about hearing his oracles. And he added no more. It wasn't supposed to be no more than 10. They got 613 because they broke 10. All right. Deuteronomy 4:12. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the clouds. He repeating again the Ten Commandments. You heard his voice. You heard the voice of the words, but you saw no similitude. They just heard a voice speaking to Moses. Boom. Lightning flash. Every time he spoke, man, they hearing his voice. And they talked about that through all their generation, told their children and everything. We heard him speak. And in the New Testament, even the Pharisees said, we know God spoke to Moses. because they heard about how he spoke when he first met them. He said they saw no similitude, only ye heard a voice. And he declared unto you, watch this, he declared unto you what? His covenant. The covenant is what? The Ten Commandments. In the New Testament, he said, I'm going to make a new covenant. I'm going to write them, my laws in your heart. So in the New Covenant, the covenant in the New Testament, the covenant is what? The Ten Commandments. So why would a cross preacher say the covenant is Jesus himself? Because he's trying to put the responsibility of those Ten Commandments back on Jesus. The scriptures say Jesus is the mediator of the New Testament. He stands and mediates it. He stands and go between. He's the faith. It was his faith that pleased God in all ten. And now when you got saved, his faith entered you. And now he can tell you when you're going wrong or right. He's the mediator of this new covenant. That's why the patience of the saints is they that keep the faith of Jesus Christ and the Ten Commandments. He mediates it. Scripture did not say he himself was the covenant. The scripture said the Ten Commandments is the covenant. Slick preachers. Because they try to say don't do nothing. The cross preachers. You don't do nothing. You don't even need discipleship after the cross. Well, that make your message a lie. All right. I'm going to close with Jesus' temptation. We'll go a little further next time. Go to Matthew chapter 4. This was a revelation to me. I was sitting in my chair one day. And see, God is faithful to me. God know I love his word. He know I'll preach his word. If he show it to me, I'm going to embrace it. I'm going to live it. And the Bible said, to him that hath shall more be given. He just give me more. Because I love his word. When I hear his word, I adhere to it. If I'm not there, I'm there when I hear it. Because I done settled it. I'm going to do God's word. And when you like that, he'll give you more. And so everything he showed me, I embraced with all my life, my heart, my strength, and I love him more than anything, anybody. I love God with everything in me. I will not break his covenant. I'm going to go all the way to death not breaking his covenant. I love his covenant. When I pray now, I pray those Ten Commandments. I got them in my phone. Sometimes if I forget one, I take my phone out, then I start back praying. I pray the Ten Commandments now. I pray, Lord, thank you. I will have no other God before you. You are all in all of me, God. I love you more than life itself. I pray the Ten Commandments now. That's the covenant. And that covenant keeps me holy. And he said, if you keep my covenant, I'm going to be your God. I'm going to be your father. I'm going to be your friend. I'm going to be your defender. Can't nobody harm me or hurt me because I'm in covenant with an almighty God. This is the covenant. Okay. Matthew's 4. I'm going to just skate through this because I don't have time. Well, I tell you what, let me deal with one of them, then we're going to close. We'll deal with the other ones later. When I was sitting at my desk, and because I love him so much, he just showed me things. To him that hath shall more be given. And I was sitting at my desk one day, and he showed me, boop, just open it up. All three temptations came. He quoted from the Ten Commandments. Then took me to the word and proved it. And everybody said, Jesus said, it is written. He defeated the devil with the word. It is written. It is written. But the commandments are gone. We don't have no law. And he was quoting the law, quoting the Ten Commandments. And the preacher said, it is written. It is written. But they don't know what he was speaking was the Ten Commandments. I want to do the one with Matthew's 4 and 4. Let's look at that one. Because you know the one in Matthew's 4:10 that said when Satan told him, bow down and worship me. And he really got Jesus upset because Jesus said, get thee hence. One translation said, Satan, get out my sight. I like that one. Satan, get out my sight. That really made him mad there. He said, it is written, you worship thy God and him only shalt thou serve. He was quoting from, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's what he was quoting. That made him mad. You think I'm going to twitch gods? Get out of my sight. But I like this one here, Matthew 4, verse 4. But he answered, now Satan knew he was hungry and he came, verse 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if you be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. My God, you know what I just saw? Thank you, Holy Ghost. All of your temptation. Now say, watch this. When Satan come to you in one way or the other, his strategy of temptation going to be within you breaking the Ten Commandments in one way or the other. And if he know how serious that is, Why don't we know it? It says, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if you be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered, Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Let's go see where he got that from, because he said it's written. And Jesus says, search the scriptures. Let's go see. And it's in other places, but let's go see one main place, Deuteronomy 8. And let's see where he quoted that from. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 2 and 3. All right. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart. See, this flood showing what's in everybody's heart. Now, the saints going to make it that trust God. But a lot of these people that lost stuff, I'm telling you, the stuff was their God. And God was saying to the city, to the state, and to the world, your life is not in stuff. And some of them didn't get this, okay? To prove thee, to know what was in your heart. For you to know it, God know it. Whether thou would keep his what? Keep what? What commandments you think he's talking about? Or no, whether you're going to keep his commandments or no. He met him when he brought him out of Egypt, gave him 10 commandments, added no more, led him through the wilderness to prove whether they're going to keep his commandments or not. Even after he gave them the Mosaic law, they still rebel, some of them, a lot of them. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna. He said, I'm going to feed you with manna. I'm going to let bread fall from heaven. He waited right good till they got hungry and made their stomachs growl. He did that. And that's when they start complaining. But he let their stomachs start growling just to show them that your God is your belly. Because you know what I did and how I brought you out of Egypt. But if your stomach start aching, you'll forsake me. He'll let your stomach ache sometime just to see whether you really love him or not. He'll let a little pressure come to see whether you love him or not. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed you with manna. Why did he feed him with manna? He was trying to teach him something. Now, this is what he's after. He said, I want to know if you're going to keep my commandment. So I fed you with manna to stop your stomach from aching, which thou knowest not, neither did the fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. I want you to know you're supposed to live by every word came out of my mouth when I commanded you. Now, I could take y'all to most scripture tonight, but he taught, when Jesus said man don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, he was talking about every commandment that came out of his mouth you're supposed to live by. Questions are coming. And that's why he's going to judge us by these commandments at the end of our lives. Because you're supposed to be living by every one of them. And in the New Testament, we just need to know how to administrate them. And that's why Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant. Because they take us into all righteousness. Come on.
No, I just wanted to comment and say, you know, that's truly what I enjoyed too about Sunday. When you showed us about the temptation of Jesus Christ. And how I linked up that he was speaking of the Ten Commandments. Because
every temptation.
I didn't see it until you brought it to light and shared it with us. I didn't really realize that that's what he was saying. I just thought he was saying, well, it is written and it is written.
Right.
But he was speaking about the Ten Commandments.
Ten Commandments. All three temptation was in line with the Ten Commandments. And what I was saying a while ago, what the Lord showed me, when Satan come at you in temptations and pressure, he's trying to get you to break one of them. That's the point of his temptation, in one way or the other. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, go ahead, man of God.
Man, I was just thinking about, you know, that we are supposed to keep the Ten Commandments, and how it was connected to the two that Jesus said, if you keep these to all the rest of the law.
Right. Those are the, James called that part of it royal. That's the royal, because see, when he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, that's the same as saying, have no other God before me. And the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. Because The first four is how you relate to God. The rest of them is how you deal and interact with people. So in those Ten Commandments, the first part is loving God. Second part is loving people. That's what he mean by if you love, you done fulfill the whole law. Now, he's not saying if you love, you don't have to not steal. If you love, you don't have to not commit adultery. Because if you really loving, you won't commit adultery. If you really loving, you won't steal. You won't break none of them if you love. That's why love fulfills them all. Because the first part of them is how you deal with God. The latter part of them is how you deal with people, period. Now, how is the Ten Commandments bad? Let me go somewhere here and show you something. Creflo Dollar said, if you try to keep the Ten Commandments under grace, you're sinning. Well, let me shut that up. Romans chapter 7, and I think it's verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law, now you're talking about the law of God, is the law sin? God forbid. For I had not known lust except the law said, thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not covet is the 10th commandment. So we know he's not talking about the law of Moses. He's talking about the laws of God, the 10 commandments. Now he asks a question, is the law sin? Is the 10 commandments sin? God forbid. So how we let a preacher get away with saying if you try to keep the 10 commandments under grace, you sinning? The man don't understand grace and he don't understand the law. That's how a preacher preached that kind of ignorance. Let me show you something else. Romans 7:12. Wherefore the law of God, the 10 commandments. The law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. So you mean I'm sinning if I keep something holy, just, and good? Don't make no sense at all. And this preacher got probably 10,000 people in both of his churches, probably got 300 or 400 churches under him, teaching the country, if you keep the Ten Commandments, you sinning. And we sat over here in this little humble church, and I wonder if y'all know how blessed you are. Hallelujah. I was trying to close. Y'all know stuff that I was teaching. I was pastoring for a minute. Did that hit me? Now it makes sense. Jesus came out quoting the Ten Commandments. Why? Because he come to take away the first and establish the second one. He finna take away the first covenant and he getting ready to establish the second covenant, which is the new covenant that we are under. And the new covenant is the Ten Commandments written inside of us. We're born of them. That's the covenant. Now Jesus come out quoting the Ten Commandments. And then when he come out teaching, look at what he started teaching. He said, think not that I've come to destroy the law. Why y'all thinking I'm coming to destroy it? Why? See, Jesus way over here 2,000 years ago saw Creflo preaching against the Ten Commandments. He saw the grace preachers preaching against the Ten Commandments. And 2,000 years ago, he came out teaching his apostles. He said, don't think I'm coming to destroy God's laws. And most of the church think the laws are gone. Then he said, anybody breaking the least of one of these commandments shall be called least in the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God has come now. The kingdom of God hadn't come back there. It coming in the New Testament. He's get ready to usher in the kingdom of God by way of the Holy Spirit. And he said, if you break the least, you're going to be called least in the kingdom. And he said, if any man shall do and teach him, they'll be called great. Y'all looking at a great man. Amen. Come on, you look. Are you going to be great? I'm finished. Clap your hands and praise the Lord. Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. We're just about out of time. That's it for today. I thank you for tuning in. I want to encourage you to go to our website for more free teaching at www.someonecaresministry.org. That's www.someonecaresministry.org. Pastor Lewis said, we love you. Thank God for you. See you on the next broadcast.